Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Real Life Real Crime Daily for Friday, June 9th. And I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino. Happy Friday, fellas.
Friday.
Happy Friday. Friday. Well, every so often, I don't know if you've noticed, I have been taking the opportunity on Fridays to do some corrections and retractions.
All right.
Because our audience keeps up with the show. And
like you said, and, you said our aria and its area.
Yeah. Well, let's actually talk about this is Friday's show. We record Friday's show on Thursdays so we can get it to you at midnight. And I was just in the car driving up to Denham Springs listening to the Thursday show. And so the correction and retraction here, it's actually correction, retraction, and omission, and it comes from myself and Woody Overton. Thursday show, I completely butchered the name of a region within Mexico. The name of the region is spelled J-A-L-I-S-C-O. Like a moron, I first said Jalisco, wrong. And then I next said Jalisco, wrong. That's two. Then our resident grammar czar, Woody Overton, came in to save the day, correcting me first with Hal Cisco, wrong.
He later amended
that to to Hi Cisco, wrong. And then he went for the grammatical hat trick, telling me it was Hal Cisco. Wrong for the third time. The correct pronunciation is Jalisco. We took 5 collective shots at it and got them all wrong. So our apologies go out to our Mexican-American listeners as well as our listeners in Mexico for taking you along with us on the Mexican voyage of the Real Life Real Crime Daily Grammar Titanic on yesterday's
And again, the correct pronunciation is Jalisco.
Two, I want to apologize to the thousands, and I mean, it might be tens of thousands, but let's just say thousands of Real Life Real Crime Daily fans who've reached out this week on my private Twitter to complain about our lack of coverage of Prince Harry's lawsuit
and the
8 hours of testimony he gave on Tuesday. I want to let you know, you can go to ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, CNN, MSNBC,
you can go
CNBC,
you want to,
Newsmax, News Nation,
Daily,
The Daily Wire, ESPN, and Spankvision to find coverage of the first royal testimony since 1891, but you won't find it here thanks to Ebenezer Overton.
That's right.
Three, a congrats go out to Virginia Oliver, who is the oldest living lobster fisherman on the planet. She turned 102 yesterday.
Documentary.
She's the lobster lady up in Maine. She's a listener.
You know, the lobsters are moving north. Did you know that?
Virginia. They're all going to Virginia for 102nd. Yeah. And lastly, on a sad note, you guys were big WWF fans growing up, right?
Sure.
We lost the legend.
Why they do it doggy style here? said I'm missing the wrestling on TV.
Well, we lost a legend yesterday.
Yes.
You guys are going to. The Iron Sheik. We lost the Iron Sheik. Okay. Who was actually born in Iran. Okay. And his name, his real name was Hossein Khosrow Ali Vaziri. And he became the only Iranian champion in WWE history, winning the heavyweight championship in 1983, which I thought was important. Although, Hulk Hogan won it back from him less than a month later. Apparently, the feud between Sheik and Hogan has lasted through the rest of their lifetimes. In fact, Sheik tweeted just the other day, "Fuck Hogan" on his on his Twitter. So he was born in 1943 in Iran and was in the 1968 Olympics as a Greco-Roman wrestler and was actually quite. Quite a man, and we're sorry to see
in our Iranian listeners. Yeah. I know there are more than give a shit about the rules. Please,
thousands,
please tweet in to Mike how he butchered those names so you can correct it next Friday.
Love it, love it.
Look, all right, let's just some crime time.
Well, right before we get into that, anybody got any Matt Rife tickets?
Oh my God.
So what's the story on that? What is the story?
Look, I have no idea. I pull up Facebook yesterday and my feed is dominated. My
wife commented on Chase Tyler's wife's commented on it. Like Chase Tyler who does the music for Life or Crime and Chase Tyler Band, shout out to them. He has a big fascination with Dolly Parton and he always posts about her. So Lindsay post about this Matt Rife guy and my wife commented something about how she whatever evidently she follows it or something, I don't know, and then Jim sent the thing last night and I'm like I'm pretty sure that dude's not playing
this. wait, so this is a real guy?
Yeah, it's a comedian. Apparently he has a bunch of TikToks or something.
I think he started on Disney or something.
Yeah, he was. Well, he was on Wildin' Out on MTV.
But basically, he's swole like me.
I went into a rabbit hole researching. Yeah. After
he's swole like me, and he's got all the abs and everything.
This is
he's the Marky Mark.
This is a little boy.
Marky Mark a comedy.
Facebook boy candy for the wives. Is that what we're looking at here?
Probably a few wives have had that mental picture in their mind when they're.
But he's not on. He's not on tour. He's not coming.
No, he's on tour. He's coming to actually to New Orleans to sing a theater.
Yeah, he's going to be at the Sanger.
He gets like $175,000 a show. Yeah.
Can he sing?
I have no idea.
He's not a singer. He's a comedian.
Oh well, Woody just made it sound like he was saying. So does he
love to sing a theater?
Get out, come out in a Chippendales outfit and do his.
He must
do his stand up.
Yeah, I can. Guarantee you two places I'll never be: the Angola Rodeo and Matt Rife shows.
Me too, brother. I'm with both you 100%.
And you guys got hall passes on Friday night while the wives are at that show.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, on to some serious crime news, and we reported to y'all in some previous episodes regarding Sergeant David Poirier and Corporal Scotty Canzaro.
Dennis Springs, basically native, a police officer that died in line of duty.
Yes, and also Corporal Scotty Canizaro. They were in that helicopter crash that took place with the Baton Rouge Police Department. I believe they were in the Port Allen area when it went down.
Yeah, they were across the river and crashed in a cane field.
So the FAA has been putting together, you know, what occurred or what they feel like happened. And one of the concerns was that chopper was missing for so long.
And they didn't know it was missing.
And they had no idea. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. It was some 8 hours, something like that. And federal agencies started looking into see about a distress locator signal that is used in these situations. And they said it was either not activated or never arrived during Baton Rouge, the BRPD's deadly chopper crash. Baton Rouge Police, the Federal Aviation Administration, and the National Transportation and Safety Board each have investigated, and they just cannot find a reason as to why this distress signal locator was not transmitting. Federal mandates require most aircraft to be outfitted with these locators. They're known as ELTs, or emergency locator transmitters. The mandates were fueled primarily by the unsolved disappearance of a Louisiana congressman named Hale Boggs. I don't know if you remember that one, Woody. He went missing in flight along with an Alaska congressman in 1972. So Woody was a little young one back in those days.
I remember that somebody did a documentary about it.
So when this ELT works as it's supposed to, a distress signal ends up at one of two places. When it's activated over land, the signal is routed to the Air Force Rescue Coordination Center in Florida. However, when it's over water, it's sent to the U.S. Coast Guard.
Right.
So according to Scott, they had no indication that an ELT that was on board the BRPD helicopter was ever activated.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that sheds a whole lot of light on anything, but it answers the question as to how nobody knew there was an incident.
The shock value of this story, if you will, is they still didn't know they were missing. It was a family member that realized that one of them hadn't come home, and then they called it in. And actually, one of them's dad or stepfather-in-law went in,
Yeah. Well, the crash, as you're discussing, it was discovered many hours later after the father of one of the pilots grew concerned.
Yeah, but BRPD never knew they were gone.
No, the man called police, shared the officer's last known location because he tracked him with his cell phone.
Yeah, he tracked him as far as he could to like a field or something, and had to call him in. Yeah,
that's right.
But rest in peace, brothers. And
When they go up, they don't go up with like 8 hours worth of fuel, do they? Can they be airborne for 8 hours?
And I'm sure they change the policy, et cetera, but they're kind of their own unit. They do their own thing. Yeah, but they were out assisting, and they just, nobody in the heat of the moment, and then 8 hours afterwards, no one even realized they were gone.
And is it an NTSB report that we're waiting in terms of the cause of the crash?
Well, the FAA is heading it, but there's several different agencies.
But BRPD has nothing that's come out, right? We don't know. We still don't know why.
You wouldn't believe how long it took. It takes like a year to get any solid answers. They reconstruct the whole helicopter again and try to figure out if possible.
Let's bring you back to Louisiana. And this is, y'all up north and stuff like Shane McBride in Wisconsin, they actually have black bear hunting seasons, Mike. And one thing I've never killed is a bear because we don't have that hunting season here. Although a grizzly in Alaska where you have to fly in by plane and remote camp is on my bucket list, but it's $30,000 just to show up. In Louisiana, the bear sightings used to be rare, but like on Bloody Angola, the Burl Cain episode that dropped yesterday, the one of the prisoners saw a black bear on the grounds when they got the warden and brought him out there, and he was like, that's great, leave him alone, let him run. It was like a 450-pound bear. So let him run because that'll be another deterrent from the inmates trying to escape at night because they know bears are out there and they'll eat them, right? But you do not want to shoot a bear in Louisiana. I had a judge, and I won't say where, who had me come polygraph his son because his son got arrested for shooting a bear at nighttime, and he believed his son didn't do it. Well, guess what? His son did do it. He failed the polygraph. But these bears are so tagged. The wildlife and fisheries can see their heart rates, where they're traveling, in the whole nine yards. But in Lincoln Parish last month, somebody killed one, and they're offering a $6,000 reward for information leading to an arrest of whoever fatally shot a Louisiana black bear found in Lincoln Parish last month. The wildlife agents responded to a report May 12th of a dead black bear in Ruston. That's way.
That's Burt Jones country.
Right. And in the middle of
Burt could have knocked him down with a football.
Yeah. Taking a bear during closed season, which there is no open season. So that is a misnomer.
Oh, that threw me in the story because I saw that.
Right. But anyway, it's a hell of a fine, and you're going to jail. And, you know, you can get off easier for murder than in, say, Louisiana than you can for killing a black bear.
Yeah, game wardens don't play, right?
For black bears, it's just big shit. And yeah. I saw my first one ever last year at my parents' place. They're coming back now because, you know, we don't hunt them. You're not supposed to, right? So I don't believe you should mess with them. If they get to a population where, like gators, where they have a month-long season or something like that, it'd be a different story to help control them. But, y'all, if you know anything about it, call in and get that $6,000 reward.
Yeah, this story shocked me because I didn't know there were bears in Louisiana. I thought –
Oh yeah,
Any sort of flat terrain was not bear habitat.
Well, it's not all flat terrain. I mean, it's not hilly for you, but you know, you travel different areas of state. And
St. Francisville area is
East Feliciana, where I'm from, is called the Hill Country. My daddy started Hill Country Realty way back then. It's not hills like you're like used California, to, yeah. right? But the like in Jackson or Dixon, DCI is the first job I ever had was at Bear Corners Restaurant. Bears used to be rampant.
Really?
Well, what happened is Cajuns ate them all. That's the truth. So anyway,
in California, it's freaky because so many homes are built on the foothills of the mountains, and bears come springtime, are coming down those mountains and getting into garbage pails and all kinds of stuff and tearing these neighborhoods up. And there are a ton of them. And you can do is call wildlife. And
it'll reach a point where they'll have to have some type of tag system to help control, because the state won't be able to control the population. And it is growing phenomenally. Like I tell you, and I'm 53 years old, and I saw my first one in the wild this year. But until then, don't shoot them.
Don't
not in
shoot
Louisiana.
Yogi Bear. I've got a couple of updates for you guys. This first one is a story. I think we did our first week of the show, if not maybe. I know we did it in January, and it's the story you remember in Norfolk, Virginia, where the first grader, the 6-year-old, gets a gun, puts it in his backpack, shoots the teacher. Right. And at the time, Woody, I remember you saying,
"Mama's going to jail."
Well, I remember you saying two things.
Yeah,
that teacher's going to get a lot of money.
Yeah.
And that mama's going to go to jail.
Yeah,
and
one of those parents is going to jail.
And you did a lot better on those calls than you did on Mexican pronunciations yesterday. But the mother of the 6-year-old who shot the teacher has pled guilty to federal felony charges. I think this actually came together in a pretty cooperative way. The mother felt horrible about what had happened. Right. And so the mother of a 6-year-old boy who brought the gun to school pled guilty to new federal felony charges as part of a deal with prosecutors. Her name is Deja Taylor. She's 26. She was charged with unlawful use of a controlled substance while possessing a firearm and with making a false statement while purchasing the firearm, specifically a semi-automatic handgun, the federal complaint states. Her attorney, James Ellison, said Taylor's guilty plea was, quote, an agreed procedure which eliminated the need for the government to take the case to a grand jury. So what do you call that again when you do that? When you don't plead guilty, but you avoid the grand jury because...
Well, I mean, you plead guilty. That's the only way to avoid the grand jury.
Didn't we have a case last week that was the same thing where you they know you plan on pleading guilty, and so...
Well, the judge can enter the plea for you.
Yeah, that's what it was. The judge enters the plea, right? So...
No, this is a plea, but what's interesting in this, and I told y'all that also said there'd be more to it. She had dope in her system, evidently. They're saying illegal.
And when she purchased the weapon, which means they really went hard after putting something together there. Yeah. But our actions follow very constructive negotiations we had with the federal authorities. The terms of the agreement, which we believe to be fair to all parties, will be disclosed when we enter the guilty plea. So when we enter the guilty plea, that's her lawyer. Right. She'll enter that guilty plea later this week, possibly early next. And he added that he planned to submit, quote, mitigating evidence and thanked the U.S. Attorney's Office for its good faith participation in the discussions. So that's what is going on with her. The teacher, by the way, whose name is Abigail Zwirner, she was just 25. She's suffered gunshot wounds to both her hand and her chest. She survived those. She's still recuperating to a degree, but she's going to get paid a lot of money, undisclosed at this point, where those discussions are. But two for two for Woody Overton on those. The other update is Jim's insane story about the store owner in South Carolina who thought the kid had stolen the water, even though he hadn't stolen water, and chased him down in the street, shot him in the back, and killed him. Apparently, that guy, whose name is Rick Chow, has made a habit of chasing after and shooting at people that that have committed, you know, really low-level kind of theft in his store. So in 2018, he confronted a shoplifter at his place as an Express Mart Shell station in Columbia, South Carolina.
Stop and rob.
He fired two shots, wounded a man in the leg, and the man pleaded guilty to charges in the case in 2018. In 2015, he fired several shots at a vehicle after he tried to stop someone he suspected of shoplifting, and the suspect got into the vehicle and threatened to shoot Chow. No one was hurt. In both cases, authorities said Chow's actions were not criminal originally. Self-defense law in South Carolina requires the shooter doesn't instigate the incident and that the shooter believes he or she is in imminent danger and has no way to avoid that danger. Well, they've sort of rethought what probably happened in 2015 and 2018 based upon Chow's latest actions. And this is only going to make the little situation.
You shoot somebody in the back.
Chow.
Shoot somebody in the back. It's not imminent danger. They're running.
Speaking of Mr. Chow, the best Chinese restaurant in Los Angeles, if you go, Mr. Chow. There's one in New York as well.
I'm not going.
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email, or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. Cool. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book, as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different, and in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with my life in a book is simple. And in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
No, don't go on the next, I don't know, 2 to 6 to 10 years.
Yeah, all right.
All depends.
All right, an Atlanta mom accused of murdering her sons in an oven waves quarter parents. And this one's going to be tough to hear, y'all, but an Atlanta mother accused of killing her two children by putting them in an oven has waived her appearance before a judge. Lamora Williams was scheduled to appear before a judge at 9:30 a.m. on Wednesday for a final plea hearing. In court, lawyers for the state and Williams said they have agreed on a special setting for a trial date in the future. Now, in October of 2017, Williams called 911 around 11 p.m. She told the operator she had come to find two of her sons dead. Upon arriving at the scene, officers found the body of 1-year-old Jakarta Penn and 2-year-old Keyonte Penn. Both toddlers had burn marks all over their body. Williams told police she had left the three children from noon until 11:30 Friday with a caregiver and came back to find them dead. So Williams makes a 911 call. Now, we at Real Life Real Crime Daily have this call. We're going to play it for you. We want to warn you. The content may be a little disturbing for some listeners.
Yes, disturbing.
Atlanta 911, operator 7054. What's the address?
Yes, ma'am. Ma'am, I have a question, and this is a serious matter. I just left my cousin in the house with my kids. She just left my kids in the house when I came back from work, and my kids. Two of my kids are dead. What do I gotta do? They dead. She left them dead in the house by themselves.
Oh, okay, ma'am. Where are you now?
I'm in my house. She left my door open. My baby boy, my oldest baby boy, is the only one that's here, only one that's alive. She left them in the house by themselves. She left them in here, and they knocked the old phone. Can you listen? When I came in, the stove was laying on my son's, my youngest son's head, and my other son was laid out on the floor with his brains laid out on the floor. I don't know what to do. I just came home to work from this. And she just left my baby thing.
Okay, ma'am, I'm going to get EMS, and I'm going to get police and fire at the location. Can you tell me where you're located?
Ma'am, I can't even talk. This is so serious. I'm so scared. I don't want to get locked up because I was at work.
Okay, ma'am.
I
understand that you're scared. I completely understand, but I need to get some help out there to you now. Can you tell me where you're located?
I understand that, but can you please help me? Like, can you please tell me, like, I don't want to get locked up because this is not my fault. I had just came home from work.
Yes, ma'am.
I just came home from work.
Okay. Ma'am, the first thing that I need to do is get some help out there to you. I understand that you're upset and you're scared.
They've been in here dead. Like, it's not, it's no way in the fuck. She left my baby dead.
Okay.
And I don't have no way to reach her.
If you're not sure, if you were at work, ma'am, listen to me. If you were at work while this happened, then the responsibility is going to fall on your sister if that's who you left them with. Okay? Okay, hold on one moment because I'm going to also get EMS on the line as well, okay?
Yes,
hold
please.
Hold on one moment. Yes, ma'am. Stay on the line with me, though. Hold on one moment for me.
Okay.
Okay, tell me exactly what happened.
When I just came home from work, my babies were stuck in the stove, dude, and I just came home from work.
My cousin
was babysitting my kids and left my kids dead in my house. Ain't no telling how long they've been in this house.
All right, wait. So is your son, is he obviously dead? Is he breathing at all? Can you tell
he's dead. He's burnt. Both of my children are dead. Their head is burnt. Their skull is laying on this floor. The stove is, one of my babies is stuck. The stove is cooked over and everything.
She told the dispatcher that her cousin was babysitting and left the children alone, but then she asked the operator to assure her she would not be blamed for their deaths. Can you help me? Like, can you please help me? Like, I don't want to get locked up. I had just come home from work. Now, I ask all of you.
That's not what you
do. If you're innocent, would you be concerned at that point in time on being arrested?
No.
Not the first questions you ask.
So investigators had that same inclination, y'all. Mm-hmm. And the charges laid out in a warrant for which stated the 24-year-old mother put Jakarta and Keyonte in the oven sometime between 11 p.m. Thursday and 1 a.m. on Friday. A third child, 3-year-old Jamal Penn, was found in the home, but he was not injured. Now, at the same time Williams was making her 911 call, the boy's father, Jamal Penn, was also calling 911. He told the dispatcher Williams had just video chatted with him, showing him the dead bodies of his sons.
He needs to be.
She video called me, showed me this, and I seen it. Penn tells the operators, I think they are really dead. Brenda Williams, the mother of Lamore, said her daughter has a long history of mental illness, and she believes Lamore snapped after breaking up with Penn. Lamore Williams has remained in custody at the Fulton County Jail since her arrest and is facing two charges of murder, as well as charges of child cruelty, lying to police, and concealing a death. That is
absolutely nothing.
One of the worst stories I've ever covered.
It's horrible.
Disgusting. I don't even know what you do with people like that.
I know what you say. You send her to murder by you.
Yes, that's
absolutely.
Right. You cook her on broil.
Yeah, it takes all kinds to make the world go around, right?
Well, around here in Louisiana, we bring them out in the middle of the spillway and put them in a crab trap.
Murder by you.
Yeah.
Right. So, y'all, let me tell you a Florida story. A Florida teenager repeatedly stabbed his ex-girlfriend, a high school star softball player, then slit his own throat Saturday after he followed her to a restaurant where she was having dinner with her mother. Spencer Ross Pearson, 18, tracked his ex-flame, 17-year-old Madison Schmitz, to Mr. Chubby's Wings in upscale Ponte Vedra Beach in Jacksonville. The recent graduate had been stalking and harassing Schmidt since she broke up with him in April. She was eating with her mother, Jackie Rogue, and friend Casey Estep when they spotted him seated at a nearby table. They got up to leave and pay their check, but he followed them outside and he grabbed Schmidt by the arm and stabbed her approximately 15 times in broad daylight in front of the restaurant.
Jesus.
Rogue tried to intervene. Pearson slashed her in the forehead and leg. That's her mom, y'all. A good Samaritan, Kennedy Armstrong, was sitting in the restaurant's parking lot, and he heard the scream, and he rushed over to help. He said, "You see two girls in trouble getting attacked by a guy? I would hope most people would do the same."
Amen.
Kudos to the mom. I think she's the real reason the girl's still alive. Pearson then turned the knife on himself and sliced his own throat several times, telling witnesses he was attempting to kill himself. The alleged perpetrator and three victims were taken by ambulance to nearby hospital for serious injuries. Schmitz was stabbed in the back and severed damage to her spinal cord, which left her temporarily paralyzed. The bad guy suffered severe injuries to his right hand, including an artery and several ligament, which required surgery. Anybody y'all, another horrible story, but at least she's alive, right?
Yeah, but that's just absolutely crazy. Middle of public.
Oh, let me retract it. I don't have to boom it, but the Armstrong, I think, was the guy that rushed over to help. That Pierce and the bad guy is still in the hospital in critical condition for slashing his own shed, and he's charged with two counts of first degree attempted premeditated murder.
Mm.
A lot of crazy out there. Yeah, I mean, nothing these days, I guess, shocks us any longer as we look at what's going on around the country every day. And one of the things we've talked a lot about is these different cities and district attorneys and the soft on crime policies, no cash bail, all that kind of stuff that has put more people out on the street committing crimes. And I was shocked to learn that the Manhattan district attorney, whose name we've all become familiar with, Alvin Bragg, on Tuesday disavowed over 300 convictions. Woody, I really want to talk to you about this story because I'd never heard of what's happened here. Okay, so these 300 convictions that have been overturned or disavowed, as the term they used, are all tied to police officers who were themselves found guilty of crimes. So this is the latest in over 1,000 dismissals citywide of cases connected to officers who later were charged or convicted with some kind of other crime. So the latest abandoned convictions, almost all misdemeanors, date back as far as 1996. Each involves one of nine officers who were later convicted of on-the-job offenses, among them taking bribes, illegally selling guns, lying under oath, planting drugs on suspects, and all nine are no longer on the force.
Right. And so we do a lot of cop stories like that, bad cops. And one thing we haven't talked about before, and I used to use this term all the time, and I used to train the young guys, I said, you fuck up one time, you do something illegal like that, and then you get convicted of it, they are going to go back, and prison doors will be open all through the Department of Corrections, and people are going to get out because you did something.
So
it takes a lifetime to build a reputation in a second to destroy it.
One script. So this is...
They would love to catch Woody Overson on some bullshit. All the people up at Bloody Angola.
So this is
you too slick.
This is nothing new. This is not unique to New York. It's everywhere,
and it just doesn't get reported. You know why? Because they don't want it in the news that all these people are getting released. But you know,
it doesn't get reported that way. I thought maybe you meant they didn't want it, the defense attorneys to get wind of it.
No. The defense attorneys are still going to have to. Not everybody's going to get out right, but like jury trial shit. But it's fruit of poisonous tree. I mean, and if it's a bad cop, they're going to go back and look at every case they've ever done and challenge it.
Right. But in another world where just a few years ago, where district attorneys didn't want convicts freed all over the street.
It doesn't matter. I'm doing it. Over 30 years, I know several cases where people got out of prison because the cop got caught doing something wrong later on.
So
it's not a sign of the times thing, a political right. thing. It's just a fuck up.
So make a mistake and
not a mistake.
You do something
with criminal intent like these assholes did, and then they can go back and charge. Say, well, you know what?
How do we know he wasn't doing it in my case?
Yeah. I understand. And it was severe enough in each case for them to have been kicked off the force.
Right.
So.
Right.
Okay. All right. Look, y'all, I bet you didn't know that this week was a very special week for the United States Postal Service. It is National Dog Bite Awareness Week. How many people knew about that out there? I'm curious.
I'm excited to say.
So you may be surprised to hear this, y'all. More than 5,300 Postal Service employees were attacked by dogs while delivering the mail last year. Yeah. Aggressive dog behavior obviously is a common safety concern, especially for the post office. Right. To keep its workers safe, the organization is providing important information on how dog owners can be good stewards for safe mail delivery. And they have this campaign. They call it the National Dog Bite Awareness Week campaign. It runs from Sunday, June 4th through Saturday, June 10th. So it'll run through tomorrow. This year's theme is Even Good Dogs Have Bad Days. And to spread the news of this campaign, they want everybody to use the hashtag Dog Bite Awareness. We're even going to use that in our little Facebook post that we do. Mail carriers, they know dogs can bite. They're trained on how to defend against this. But there was something interesting in this article, and it said, inform yourself, see the mail before it arrives. So there is a system that USPS has. You can go sign up for it, and you can actually it's called Inform Delivery. Customers can digitally preview incoming mail and packages from a computer, tablet, or mobile device, and you enroll in that service. And what they're thinking is this service can help dog owners anticipate when a mail carrier arrives and they can put their dog up. The problem is a lot of these dogs aren't leashed. Now, they don't have mail carriers like, I mean, they still have mail carriers that go door to door, but not like they used to.
Well, I was going to say, before the invent of email and all this stuff we do now, they think how many dog bites it must have been.
Well, right? I'm glad. Exactly. Yeah, it must have been. But, every year the post office released stats on how many dogs, per state, how many dog bites they have. So we're going to give you a few of those. If you had to guess, Woody, what would you say the top dog biting state is?
Texas.
What would you say?
Texas.
Wrong. California.
Really?
California.
What? No. That's raw number, though. Per capita, it's Texas.
We didn't say per capita. Yeah. I just said total dog bites. Okay.
So
California is 675. Boom. California, 656. Texas, 368.
What?
So less than half. And Louisiana, nowhere on there. New York is in third, Pennsylvania in fourth, Ohio in fifth. Now, cities.
Yeah.
How about cities? We'll get into that. The largest city for dog bites. Any guesses?
Houston. Chicago. Not Chicago. Detroit.
Houston.
You would be correct, Mike. Houston at 57 ranks number one. Detroit not on the top 30. No, excuse me. They are, Woody. They're about 10th, 32 for them. If you're curious, in the Baton Rouge area where you rank, you are in about 20th place with 20 dog bites in 2022.
Which is enormous for a city the size of Baton Rouge. I mean, your rank population-wise is somewhere around 100, and you're 22nd in dog bites. I cheated. I knew Houston because I looked at the list. Dallas is third, right? And San Antonio is 10th. You've got three Texas cities in the top 10 for dog bites. I don't know what exactly. Maybe they're just they hate mail carriers in the state of Texas. I don't know. They're training their pit bulls.
More
to
people
hate,
have dogs
mail
and bigger yards and shit like that, probably. Yeah.
Well, just be conscious of that, folks. If you have if you have a mail carrier that actually walks to your house, make sure your dog's tied up or at least for a little while. We don't like to tie our dogs up long, but just long enough for the mail to be dropped.
That California stat is bullshit, too. I mean, all those dogs weigh 6 pounds. Yeah. They're all like Paris Hilton's dogs. If you get nipped on by a hamster.
How much does a snake weigh? Doesn't matter. You get bit, you get bit.
That's a great point.
A mosquito. How big is a mosquito? It still sucks to get bit.
Okay, but that argument doesn't hold water.
Would you rather
be bit by my 10-pound Brussels Griffon or a Rottweiler down the block?
I'm not taking that dog by stuff. I've
got a terrible dog bias.
But you, I get what you're saying, but dog bites. I had these two fingers bitten off.
Let me see your
They did a really good job. It was right there, and they were laid back like that.
And you got all your
Yep, they're still there.
You can still finger blast comfortably with this?
Flip you the bird easily. All right, hey, y'all, let me take you to Missouri. And you know what? I like Missouri. I'll go through there every time I go to Wisconsin and all that to see some business.
I went and searched that lake that you talked about.
Yeah, a lot of those lakes are the same thing, the limestone, and they flooded them back in the Corps of Engineers and their cities underneath and all that. I think we're talking about Beaver Lake in that.
Yes,
in that
we story. Were.
But Missouri has a lot of them, Table Rock, all these other lakes, places I was looking at buying. But Missouri is still executing people, unlike the state of Louisiana, because our governor is an idiot. And I know his brother, and I'm not being political and everything. His brother's the sheriff of Tangipahoa Parish. But the deal being is, I'm not saying he's an idiot, because he's not, and he's a good guy, and he's a military vet and everything else, but he's an idiot when it comes to executions, because he doesn't believe in it, so he's been blocking the buying. Anyway, our worst of our worst are still living on death row. How about that? But in Missouri, they're still executing them, and they had a guy named Michael
Jackson.
Yeah, right. Michael Jackson, T-I-S-I-U-S, Tissus.
Tissus.
Whatever, piece of shit. Michael Tissus was executed Tuesday evening, and y'all, he was executed for shooting and killing two jailers more than 20 years ago during a failed attempt to help someone else escape from a rural jail. And his final meal, and if you go to the list of Bloody Angola, Jim and I have covered
last meals of a lot of inmates.
Whole episode. Not this guy. But you wouldn't believe, I always found it fascinating what these people request. Now, this guy, of course, tries to say, well, maybe he is sorry. I don't know. I mean, I can't judge him. His last words, and he was like, I wish I could have made things right and all this, blah, 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 whatever. That he still killed two people to help somebody else escape. But his last meal consisted of two bacon cheeseburgers, curly fries, regular fries, and a chocolate shake.
He doubled up on fries. He had curly fries and regular fries. That's interesting.
Fries is not something you get in prison unless you get them smuggled in, or cheeseburgers either. In the state of Louisiana, that Bloody Angola, Friday is chicken day, and that's a big deal.
Mm, huge deal.
Well, if it was, Jim, your last meal, what would you have as your last meal?
Oh, man. That's a good question. I think I would there's so many good ones.
But, some of the states put, limits on the price. One guy, I think it was in Florida, ordered, all these steaks. Yeah. He ordered, fucking $400 worth of food and didn't eat any of them. It's like, ha, fuck y'all. So they put, a $50 limit on it now, and it has to be local.
A $50 limit? I couldn't even order HelloFresh from
That's from Bloody Angola 16. Use that code. You get 16 meals.
I wonder if they can deliver to prison. Probably not.
I'm still thinking about my last meal.
But if you have a $50 limit,
I wouldn't want my last meal unless I could cook it myself.
So right? You would just tell them I don't want anything? Screw that.
I'd say if I could cook it, I want it. And then I want some fried backstrap.
Hot wings might be good.
Reverse ribeye.
What if you intentionally? What if you intentionally ordered something you were allergic to, so you got really sick, and then they couldn't execute?
That would be they would still execute you.
So I'm definitely ill. I'm throwing up all over the place. I've had this horrible reaction to my meal. They're still right on time.
They don't give a fuck. I mean, you can be dead one way or another, right? So anyway, that's it. Missouri showed him some love. You just wait to our next governor gets in. They're going to roll him out. That it won't be gruesome gertie, but the chamber's going to be rolling steadily.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This next story, I can't believe, and it relates to what I believe is the greatest invention of the last century. Any thoughts that you guys on what's the greatest invention of the last century?
The home kegerator.
The home kegerator. That's up there. That's going to be up there.
And a Traeger pellet grill. A
Traeger pellet. Okay, that's up there.
Yeah, I'd have to say kegerator is pretty good. That's pretty good.
Okay. Well, I got yoga pants in the number one position.
Oh,
the last century. I mean, I think a lot of people.
That's actually a good one, too.
A lot of people would. And if you've seen the pants. Chips remake, Officer Ponchirelli has yoga pants in the
show off his package.
It's actually very.
The fact that you lied.
Stop. This is an unbelievable story. So, Lululemon, you guys familiar with Lululemon? Everybody's familiar with Lululemon.
Never heard the name.
Canadian company that makes yoga
pants. They make athletic clothes
and
stuff. You know, and then like $1 million for a shirt over there.
Part of me is really, really appreciative of the Canadians for having developed the line of clothing at Lululemon that they
never heard of.
Trust me.
Is
it come in camouflage?
It's ridiculous.
You can get
a pair of shorts on.
You can get
it
camo, but I don't know if the shorts are right around there. But anyway, this is a very.
He's got Lululemon drawers on right now.
So,
thong.
In America, in the year 2023, crime pays and courage can get you fired. The latest proof of our nation's descent into madness comes out of Atlanta, where two employees of Lululemon were fired for the offense of having a backbone. Assistant manager Jennifer Ferguson and her colleague Rachel Rogers lost their jobs after chasing three masked thieves who barged into the shop and ran off with armloads of high-end apparel. Ferguson captured it all on video. You can hear her screaming in the video, "No, no, no, you can't march. You can't get out of here with those, et cetera, et cetera." But it was pointless. There wasn't a security guard or police officer to be seen. The women were helpless. "Chill, bitch. Shut your ass up," the thieves yelled back at her. Apparently this happens all the time. The store has been burglarized nearly a dozen times. So can you blame the women for hitting their limit and getting pretty frustrated by all of this?
We educated all our employees that if someone comes in and they rob you or they steal, you are not to chase them anywhere.
Absolutely.
Why? Number
John Wayne's dead hero.
You're probably going to get killed or at least, you know, beat down. But number two, once you let someone do that and they get away with it and they don't get fired, every employee in the company is going to start chasing people every time they steal something. Yeah.
This is why the city of Chicago and Michigan Avenue is empty. No stores. This is why San Francisco is falling apart. This is why Nordstrom, CVS, all of these companies are locking all this merchandise. What has happened is because of those kind of policies and companies reacting that way, it is a free-for-all across America.
Nobody's life is worth Lululemon shorts.
I understand you're you've been, let me tell you something you don't know about me. When I retired from the state police, I got a contract with one of the nation's leading jewelry companies, but they're very upscale. And most of the states they're in, they're the only Rolex authorized dealer. I used to go in undercover and get them to, you know, display too much merchandise in one time because that big deal was was they get the Rolex on the counter and people run out with them, right? And in the first year, I implemented my program, which is don't chase them and everything else. And I'll tell you what, and don't press the alarm button if an armed robbery is going on, because that'll get you killed, because I'm going to have somebody monitoring police band radio. That's my getaway driver, and I'm going to kill everybody in the store. That first year I implemented my programs, the head guy who has private jets, plural, called me in to do his own family security. And he said that's the first time in 27 years he didn't have to file an insurance claim, whether one of his employees getting hurt by trying to stop something or no merchandise left the store. The deal being is whatever your views are, and then Sergeant Vicky Wax, 27-something-year veteran, Baton Rouge PD, working at Walmart, and a guy comes in for a $10 DVD, and she goes to stop him, and he takes her pistol and kills her. You never know who it is that's coming in. This guy was a 3-time felon out on parole. It's not worth seeing a dead body for any kind of merchandise.
Well, this is why you have to train your people yes. to use good judgment. If you're in a high-end store with Rolex watches where the prize is $10,000 somebody's going to steal, then you're dealing with a different element than the people who walk into a Lululemon and slide a pair of yoga pants down their pants and walk out. And this is what is causing the problems in these big cities. It's why crime is rampant in these big cities, because all of this little stuff is going unenforced. These companies then can't support the stores. They then close down the stores. The neighborhoods then degenerate.
I understand what you're saying, but you don't know that person that put that thing in their pocket if they are a 3-time convicted murderer or not.
Rhode Island man accused of breaking into homes, y'all, and we'll get to what he was stealing here in just a second. So a Rhode Island man is faced with 4 felony charges after police say he admitted to breaking into homes to steal sex toys.
Nice.
He reportedly claimed he wanted to give his birthday gift. That's a gift that keeps on giving, Woody.
Right.
Benjamin Nadrowski was arraigned before a judge in district court Tuesday morning on 2 counts each of entering a building with felonious intent and attempting to break and enter. According to police, officers were dispatched to a home on Power Street for a report of a suspicious person. The dispatcher told the police a person was trying to break through a window. When police arrived, a resident of the home said he was getting ready for bed. He saw someone standing outside the window on top of a chair trying to get through the bathroom. The resident told officers a suspect apologized and said he had the wrong house, then left in a white vehicle. The resident described the suspect as a white male with blonde hair driving a white Kia. About an hour later, the resident saw the same vehicle approach another house with the door open. As police approached the scene, they observed a man matching the description of the suspect going through a dumpster with a flashlight in his hands. He was arrested and reportedly told police he appeared into the home on Power Street. He said he was attempting to buy weed, but then realized he was at the wrong location and was confronted by the homeowner. Detectives then asked him about 3 other breaking and entering incidents the week prior. He admitted to entering a home, said he stole a sex toy from the bedroom. When questioned further, he also told police he broke into a home and stole 2 more sex toys from separate bedrooms. He admitted to attempting to steal a makeup palette from an area of a home, but dropped it and ran when a white female tenant confronted him. He told investigators he was aware college students would be graduating and was in the area to try and retrieve items that may have been thrown out. He said he didn't steal any items of value, only women's sex toys he intended to give someone as a birthday gift. Nice. The judge set bail at $2,500 with conditions. He cannot go back to the residence and has to complete a mental health screening.
Nice.
Yeah. The craziest part of that story is he was going to give them his birthday gift.
They're pricey. They're pricey. Yeah, what did you end up paying for that?
For the urethral vibrating tubes? Like $19.99.
I couldn't remember the name of
I don't have any.
Something. It wasn't a sex toy. What was the weapon that was a straw that you had a story on last week?
That was it. That was the urethra thing, wasn't it?
Your thing was a sex toy.
Vampire straws, right?
And TSA, y'all remember you can't use your vampire straws going through TSA.
Oh,
there you go.
Tell them it must be time to get kinky.
It's time to, for Kinky Crimes on Friday. And y'all, this is pretty, all these are pretty funny, actually. This one's really funny. So a Florida couple got busted for having oral sex in the back of a police car with a woman yelling, fuck 5-0 during the sex. Florida Highway Patrol trooper stopped Jordan Day, 24, in the early hours of last Tuesday for allegedly driving his black BMW on a suspended license. They offered to give his 24-year-old passenger, Summer Watkins, a ride to a gas station, but she apparently had other ideas. Baby, we should record an OnlyFans video back here, Watkins said today as it was picked up on the police dash cam. When Day was also put in the back seat of the same squad car, Watkins asked the cop, what if I suck his dick back here? I told her she could not do that, Trooper J.D. Morales wrote, just for her to ask again, can I suck his dick back here? After again saying no, the officer left them alone in the back seat of the car for a short period, only later to see what really went down when he reviewed his dash cam footage. Uh-oh. Look, we first got dash cams in. This is a good genius thing that I came up with. If I had two suspects, like Burger, whatever it may be, I'd put them in the back of a patrol car together, and I had the camera recording, and they don't know, and you'd walk away, and they're like, oh, hide the dope under the seat, and whatever, right?
That's probably what he was doing.
Right. So, but you're right. He probably, yeah. I didn't think about that. But anyway, so he said, shortly after I closed the door, Mr. Day took out his penis out of his shorts, and Watkins bent down and began to perform oral sex. I mean, he should have been handcuffed. The Watkins can be heard saying, fuck 5-0 while giving oral sex. While Day filmed it on his phone, so evidently he wasn't cuffed, yelling, can y'all hear me? She's sucking dick in the back of a state trooper car right now. As the officer stepped back into the vehicle, Watkins bragged, I just sucked his dick in the back of a police car. To which the officer replied, I doubt that. The officer dropped off Watkins before checking the dash cam, then went straight back and arrested her for lewd and lascivious behavior in breach of peace, both misdemeanors.
Wow. In breach of peace? She was providing some
that's
peace.
That's kinky.
But he's in the back, and he's not cuffed, and he's got his mobile phone?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that all no-nays. That's and pretty. Putting her in the back of the car, too. What the fuck is it, a taxi service? Kinky
that's
crime.
Kinky right there, Woody. Yeah, I don't funny. Care who you are. That's kinky.
Funny. Kinky crime.
In the back of a police car. How about that? Uh-oh.
What was the website the other day that somebody used?
Run a Hitman.
No, it wasn't Rent a Hitman. It was a different one. It was a new one.
Oh, the Black Talent thing you kept? You
had you the story. Got I can't remember what it was. But guess what?
You talking about the bulletproof cars and shit, but with an arm driver?
Yeah. No, I'm not. Boom, Jim. You had a copycat to Rent a Hitman as a site that somebody used to try to.
But it wasn't a copycat. It was on. It was a real
dark
one
web,
on Darknet. Yeah.
Legit. We're back at Rent a Hitman again, which is not down. I thought they took the site down. A 17-year-old girl was arrested in Iowa last week after allegedly trying to hire a hitman online and asking them to kill a 7-year-old child. Police say the girl used the website rentahitman.com without realizing the site was a parody. The 17-year-old suspect, who is now in custody, had filled out a request on the website and included the name of the child, where the child lived, and where the child could be found. The owner of the parody website then contacted local police, who arrested the girl after an undercover officer contacted her posing as the supposed hitman. The girl is facing a felony charge of solicitation to commit murder. Neither the child nor the child's family were aware of any impending threat. Investigators found evidence on the teenager's phone that indicated there was a credible threat to the 7-year-old's life. And Bob Innes, who's the owner of rentahitman.com, said he often checks the website's requests and turns over information to local police departments throughout the country. The IT programmer originally used the domain as a tongue-in-cheek way to advertise And then he forgot all about the site. So he forgot this thing was even still up. And when he started checking the site's email box years later, he discovered criminals in the making reaching out to either hire hitmen or to learn how to become one themselves. Innes has since used the domain name to turn over suspicious requests to local police. Such was the case last week when he informed Storm Lake Police about the 17-year-old.
I wonder how she's paying for it. Oh, I know. She was going to that store with the yoga pants and stealing because she'd get away scot-free and selling them on eBay.
Very,
right?
Very possible.
Yeah.
You can now take off that belt and move freely around the cabin.
All right. So we've got another mile high crime. A man was arrested after attempting to stow away under a plane at the Houston airport. Houston airport. Traveled there many times. Authorities say this wasn't the man's first attempt to stow away on a plane leaving Houston's Bush Intercontinental Airport. A Guatemalan man is being held in the Harris County Jail on a $1 million bond after allegedly attempting to stow away in the landing gear compartment of a plane leaving Houston's George Bush Intercontinental Airport. Jeffrey Gutierrez, 26, entered a restricted area of the airport in late May and tried to hide in the landing gear department of the American Airlines flight bound for Chicago. According to the flight, it was delayed nearly 45 minutes and passengers had to deplane after Gutierrez was found. Prosecutors allege this wasn't the first time he attempted to stow away on a flight. Gutierrez came to the U.S. in November of last year by hiding in landing gear of an American Airlines flight from Guatemala to Miami. Gutierrez was out of jail on bond for criminal trespassing at the time at the same airport when he was arrested for this stowaway attempt. Prosecutors say in court documents that he removed a court-ordered electronic monitoring device and ignored a judge's order to stay 200 feet away from the airport when he made his most recent attempt. The defendant then engaged in conduct that not only violated the conditions set for his release on bond, but he placed 166 passengers on the flight in great danger by stowing away in the compartment within the aircraft containing steel cables and hydraulic components.
Yeah, maybe they have a heater or something. How the hell how do you even breathe at 10,000 feet or whatever?
That's the question.
So evidently, he's done it before, but before Miami. Yeah, he's probably.
Well, he did it. That's how he got from Guatemala to Miami.
I know what I'm saying, but he probably did it before that, too.
The defendant's conduct is also an extreme act for the purpose of escaping from the jurisdiction, you think? That coming from the prosecutor, and they have charged him with a felony and two misdemeanors. He'll have a GPS monitor attached to his person. And didn't work the first time, but they're going to do it again in order to stay 1,000 feet now from all airports.
200 is the difference between 200 and 1,000.
Yeah, so.
Mile high crime.
You can now take off that belt and move freely around the cabin.
Thank you, Tiffany. And that is a mile high crime.
Mile high.
Banjos, please.
Banjo time. Kiss your sister.
In West Virginia, where you can still have sex with your cow if you want to, a man faces charges in connection with allegedly taking his late mother's Social Security benefits for his own benefit.
Where did you come up with that you still have sex with your cow?
Because we determined yesterday that West Virginia was one of two states that still allow bestiality. It's not a crime.
Oh, God. All right.
You got to pay attention to my stories, Woody.
Yeah, you're right. I do.
Sometimes I will carry the theme over to our next session. Right?
Gotcha.
It's a recurring theme.
I gotcha.
So, back to West Virginia.
We love our West Virginian people.
We don't have any. I've checked the numbers. They're in the coal mines. They can't get a signal.
We love our West Virginia
members. They can't get an internet signal in the coal mine. So this West Virginia man faces charges in connection with allegedly taking his late mother's Social Security benefits. Michael R. Johnson, 41, of a town called Bell, is charged with obtaining money, property, and services by false pretenses and disposing of property to defraud creditors. Why is he such a moron? well, his mom be dead. And his mom was still in the house. And so Johnson collected nearly $1,000 a month of his late mother's benefits, totaling nearly $6,000 since her death in December. Late last week, investigators found a decomposed body where Johnson lives, the 400 block of Fifth Street in Bell. They were serving an eviction notice at the time. The body was so decomposed that investigators could not determine the gender. The individual we have detained was living here, Sean Snuffer, chief of detectives, said. He was staying at the house while the decomposing body was in the house. Johnson had been living with his mother for 2 to 3 years. Neighbors told investigators that the woman identified by sheriff's office as Peggy Johnson had not been seen for several months. Quote, I just can't see how someone could live in a house with a decomposed body in it, unquote. Neighbor Norm Atkins said, yes, Norm, we agree with you. Johnson was taken to South Central Regional Jail, and he's going to go to jail, and he is a really dumb, disgusting criminal.
Nice. Ben dumb Jones. Criminals.
All right. That's going to be a wrap for today, y'all. We are way over.
It's a wrap.
And I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino.
Your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Shabusiness.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.